Hello, I'm India, and welcome to Start a Ripple, the podcast that celebrates moving in nature. You see, I believe that ripples are made when we connect movement with nature, not only for the mind and body, but also the environment too. And I can't believe we're in the fifth series already of this podcast. So thank you to everybody who has followed the podcast. And I can't wait to share with you the episodes I've recorded for this series. Okay, it's time to introduce this week's guest. Annie Patas is an adventurer who is moving mountains in the outdoor sector and disability landscape. Annie was diagnosed with a chronic illness, lupus, at the age of 12, and shares her journey of how she found healing in nature and why she felt motivated to share the narratives of other people with chronic illness in her blog, Outside Our Way. Hello, Annie, and welcome to Start a Ripple. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yes, very well, thank you. And really, really happy to be chatting to you today. So if we can start with going back to where your ripple started. Tell us about your background and how you got you to where you are today.
Okay. When I was younger, sort of 10 years old, my mum used to take me to YHAs and we'd go sort of hiking around nearby in those areas. Sometimes she'd take me to sort of the Derbyshire walking spots because we live in Derby City. And at the time, I absolutely hated it. Like I was in pain. I was tired all the time. I just thought, I'm not strong enough on all of this stuff. And that's because I was undiagnosed at the time. Some years later, when I turned 22, maybe, I decided that I wanted to get outdoors again. I was sick of being indoors all of the time because I was ill, because I was sick with my lupus. I was afraid of going outdoors all of the time. Like, I wouldn't go to a restaurant. I wouldn't go see my family on Eid and things like that. I was just terrified of making myself ill. So I just got grumpy one day after a really bad phone call with a GP, and was like, well, you know, if nobody's going to help me, then I'm just going to go outside and make it all worse anyway. And I'm, you know, going to get really grumpy about it. And I stomped outdoors and actually it made me feel a lot better. Mentally it made me feel a lot better. Physically I was exhausted for like a week, but it was so worth it, and it made me like I wanted to go out again and again and again. And I started looking for more routes, and it suddenly became what I was excited to do by the end of the week, and or even during the week. You know, I would look for new places to go, I would try and do my own routes, I would plan a sunrise or a sunset and stuff like that. And it was always exciting, it was always new, it was always fun, and it was always just what kept me happy and alive. And yeah, it just kind of took off from there. I became confident and happy and much more positive, and slowly my body got stronger with it.
Amazing. Yeah, and I guess that was from, you know, the start. And now look at you. And obviously we're going to go into more about what you're up to at the moment. But I wondered if we could go back to that moment when you were diagnosed with lupus. Was it 12? Is that right?
Yeah, 12.
So could you take us back to that moment when you found out what it was that was causing this fatigue? Mm. And about kind of how you saw your future at that point?
At the time when I was 12, I already had a very low opinion of my future anyway, because I was always already quite depressed. Lupus has this depression as a symptom. I was actually diagnosed with depression before I was diagnosed with lupus. So I had a very low opinion of where I was going to be in my, you know, in the next 10 years, and if I was even going to make it that far. So when I actually got the diagnosis, I was of the naive impression that it's all going to get better now. Well, they know what it is. I'm just going to take a few tablets and it'll be fine. It was not that easy. I think that sort of made it worse, to be honest, like harder to sort of come to terms with the fact that it isn't getting easier. So as you know, I started going on strong medication that just made me feel worse and more sick. you know, that hope that I had that I'd invested after being depressed for a good couple of years already got completely trashed down, and I just became so isolated as a child. Like, as a very young person, I became incredibly isolated and afraid, and didn't understand how I was supposed to live, how I was supposed to do anything.
I guess because there's no, you know, the carbon copy, you weren't able to follow, you know, what society tells you to do. This is particularly at that age of 12 where, you know, you're suddenly kind of old enough and mature enough to explore the world for yourself a little bit more, be a little bit more social. So I can totally appreciate how, you know, that knocked you for six. So was it at quite a few years later then that you discovered this passion for the outdoors? How old were you, did you say, at that point?
Yeah, it was like a whole 10 years afterwards. I think I was around 22, 23 when I decided I wanted to sort of, well, I discovered my passion for the outdoors, really. You know, prior to that, you know, if you'd asked me even 6 years ago, I would not have thought I would be doing what I'm doing now. You know, it's even maybe 5 years ago, I might think you've lost your mind. I've got no interest in that. And I definitely couldn't do that. So it's only very recently, really.
Yeah. And have you sort of found that you've built up your adventures from that point? You know, you had to grow your confidence, I guess, in the outdoors. And how has that been?
I genuinely can't explain it, but I was automatically quite confident. I mean, apart from wind, I really hate wind. I really hate wind on like edges and things like that. So I do get a bit shaky when it's quite high on top of Mantor or top of a hill or something. And I'm, you know, like, I'm ready to crawl on all fours to try and get to the trig point while everybody else is walking normally, just because it gets a bit high breezy. But from the get-go, I felt fairly confident that I would, you know, that it was fine. Not that I could do it. You know, I was a bit afraid of sort of the pain afterwards and things like that. And I think there was a period of time, I think for a good few years, like on the drive to the place that we were going to be going hiking, I started to feel sick to my stomach, like afraid sick. I wouldn't do anything about it. I wouldn't say, no, I don't want to do this anymore or anything like that. But it would be like a genuine nervous feeling in my stomach that I'd get every time, even the places I've been before. But it's just, yeah. So I'm definitely more confident now than when I started, but I was pretty I don't know if that's naively confident, to be honest, but I was pretty confident when I started going out hiking. And I think that is because I already had experience with like going out when I was younger with my mum, and I knew a bit of map reading already and things like that, even though I hated it at the time, those skills eventually came into use.
So would you go solo, or was it always, did you always have to make sure you had to go with somebody else?
Yeah, I've never gone solo. I've never done a solo hike. It's on my list to do. But I mean, the main point of the problem is I've done sort of local hikes solo, like from my doorstep when during COVID. But going out to the Peak District, it requires travel, which I don't drive, because, and even if I did, driving to a place, then doing a hike, which I would then be exhausted afterwards, because I normally get like quite sleepy in the car straight afterwards and start shutting down, I wouldn't be able to drive back, not safely. So that's automatically a problem. But there's trains that I can catch from my local station, and routes that are there, I've got them planned, I've got them in my commutes, like ready. It's just getting the confidence, because ordinarily if something goes wrong, I want somebody to be there. If I'm not feeling well, I need somebody there. But
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess that's you know, that's part of your build-up, isn't it? And yeah. And if you don't mind me asking, could you explain to both me and listeners a little bit more about lupus and what it is and how it affects you on a daily basis, but also how it affects you when you are outdoors?
Sure. Lupus is an autoimmune disease where my immune system attacks my major organs, and it causes sort of a whole number of symptoms, like ranging from as small as mouth ulcers to, you know, skin lesions and organ damage. And the sort of the main things in between that I get is pain, chronic pain in my joints and inflammation, and fatigue, but also the mental health side of things with depression and stuff like that. There's a flare up, especially. On my daily life, I will be in my pajamas most days. I'll probably leave the house about once a week, which is weird apparently for most people. I don't tend to cook most of my meals because it would be exhausting to do all the housework, my daily job, getting washed and dressed and cook my daily meals and stuff like that. So I do require like daily care from my husband at the moment, just to allow me to live and be have energy and not be asleep by 5 o'clock in the evening, burnt out and always having a flare up. In hiking terms, it's always going to cause pain when I hike. It's sort of like a dependent on how much pain it causes and whether I've gone too far. So one of the things that can trigger a lupus flare-up, which is where all of the symptoms just get 10 times worse and that risk of organ damage goes a lot higher, is overdoing it and over-exercising or over-exerting yourself. So that's very easy to do on a hike, or, you know, on a regular basis. So I really have to manage how much mileage I'm doing, how far I'm going, how hard I'm hiking or climbing, or swimming doesn't really do it to me, but yeah. And make sure that, you know, I've planned for that for the week. I have to know that I'm not, you know, I can't go to the gym the day before I'm going hiking. I have to have that sort of 2 day rest period in between and plan for sort of 2 days afterwards, which is hard because it's very hard to fit sort of everything in a week and know that you've got all the energy going on. But when you get that balance, it's fine. When you've got that read on your body where you can feel as you're hiking, okay, I'm getting a lot more tired, I'm going to have to turn back. You know, my pain isn't settling down as I sit and I stop and I wait, which I have to do on a regular basis as a hike. That means I have to stop and go back. That means I'm not okay. It's a work in progress. It's definitely something I've had to work on, learning how to read my body and know what I'm doing outdoors and what the right things to do are outdoors. But yeah, I'd say it is just sort of a balancing act and a reading job and managing almost everything.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm guessing also what must come into play with that is weather, because if you've managed your whole week around this one day that you're going to go hiking and the weather comes into play, you're going, oh my goodness, I controlled everything else, but yeah, you didn't control that.
No, there was like a good 3 week period just before COVID, before the lockdowns, where I couldn't get out because there was massive weather storms and weather warnings. So it wasn't just sort of rain. I love good rain. It wasn't just a little bit of wind, like it was quite high and quite bad. And I couldn't get out because every day that I picked, there was just a weather warning the day before, and then lockdown happened. I was fuming.
Oh, I bet. And but you know, obviously it takes a lot for you to get out. Like you say, you're managing a whole week around it. What is it about being outdoors in nature, hiking, whatever it is you're doing, that makes it worthwhile? What is it that gives you that feeling that you think, I need this in my life?
The only way I can describe it is it sort of fills my soul. It's like topping up that joy and that just topping up my soul. And there's just that high and that joy and that loving warm feeling I get from being outdoors and hiking, and that mental health benefit that a lot of people in the outdoors will already know about will last me a week, will last me like the entire time, and make me feel so lifted and joyful and positive and laughing, which is not something I was before. I was a very grumpy and depressed and angry and upset person all of the time. I barely laughed. And I'm just not that person anymore. It's completely changed who I am for the better And I just, you know, why wouldn't that be? That's worth everything, you know?
Yeah, no, I can completely relate to that. And like you say, it's the fact that feeling lasts you the full week kind of gives you that top up. It's a bit like, and I imagine, I don't know, but is it a bit like a drug? You know, it gives you, you kind of want more, you crave more, you know, it's that addictive feeling as well. You kind of want that high again.
Absolutely. And I think the different things I do outdoors gives me different things that I need as well. So hiking is sort of one sort of thrill of joy. It really fills my soul and my heart. Swimming and wild swimming and being in water or paddleboarding gives me like a very calm feeling, like a very peace, my mind just goes blank kind of feeling. And climbing just makes me feel really good specifically about myself, because, you know, my body can do all of these cool things and get me up this wall. So each of these things give me different sort of positive feelings and positive things. And it is literally, like you say, a drug, but in the best way possible, yeah. As long as you don't like overdo it.
Yeah, exactly. It's all about balance, isn't it? So if you had like a number one tip for someone who is living with a chronic illness and wants to embrace the outdoors, if there is a number one tip, and obviously it's very different for everybody, something that you could share, what would it be?
My first tip would be, and this took me a long time to sort of learn, do not try and hike the way non-disabled or non-chronically ill people are doing. Don't compare yourself to those standards. Don't try and push yourself to do these massive 12-mile hikes that you see on Instagram or that are posted on Komoot and things like that. Don't think that that is the standard that you have to reach. I got a massive flare up as a result. Like, I really did myself in for it. Instead, just sort of focus on you enjoying it. You know, as long as it's fun for you, that's what matters. And the second it's becoming too painful or too fatigued or too hard and not fun and it's impacting you too much, it's not worth it. Reduce it, find a way to change what you're doing alternatively, whether it's a lower level or how you manage your week. Just don't try and push past a thing to meet other people's standards.
There's that saying, isn't there, comparison is the thief of joy.
Yes, and that's a very good saying.
Yeah, and I guess that's, you know, it kind of sums up what you're saying. You know, don't take away your joy by comparing yourself to others. Find what works for you and then your joy will be there. Yeah, thanks so much for sharing that. So I'd love to talk to you a little bit more about Outside Our Way, which is your little baby, isn't it?
Yeah.
So could you tell us all about it?
Outside Our Way is a blog that shares stories of other people who are chronically ill and disabled in the outdoors. And the idea of it is not to sort of tailor these stories as they've overcome all troubles and reach the highest feats. It's normalizing that people do just struggle in the outdoors with different things. They have different needs and aids that they use. There are times it doesn't work for them. There are things that non-disabled and chronically ill people could do, non-disabled and non-chronically ill people could do to help them access the outdoors better. And there are things that they think other people in their position would like to know, people that, you know, something they would have liked themselves to know when they started going outdoors. And it's really about normalizing the different and the diversity in outdoor, in disability and all of those needs, and showing sort of the reality that the fact that there is a lot of work that goes into being outdoors and disabled. I think an example is, I was talking to Darren Edwards for one of the podcasts, and this hasn't been sort of released yet, but my favourite sort of thing was, I mean, this bloke has done 7 marathons on 7 continents in 7 days.
Yeah, Darren's been on this podcast. He's incredible.
Absolute stunner of a bloke.
Love just a nice guy, isn't he? He's just a really nice guy.
So lovely. Yeah. I sat down to interview him and he was like, so tell me about you then. And I was like, no, I'm interviewing you. It was so nice of a man. But when I said, you know, tell me something in your daily sort of outdoor life that bothers you, is the fact that walking his dogs is practically an epic. You know, it's such a long, hard job to do to just start and walk out with his dogs. He's got two collies, I think it is, and they need walking. So yeah, he does these amazing adventures and he does these massive things. But also, his average everyday outside time is still a problem, is still a barrier. It's not, you know, he would quite like it not to be a massive epic every single time he goes outdoors. And things like that, that's what I want to sort of share, because I don't think that narrative is getting out there as much.
Yeah, it's very easy to see photos, isn't it, on social media or whatever, and not see what goes on in between, what happens before that photo and after that photo. And I think that's really amazing that you're highlighting that. And, you know, it's educating, isn't it? It's educating everyone. It's educating society. It's educating the way that, you know, we have accessibility to the outdoors. So yeah, thank you for sharing all that. Now another little baby of yours is a film that's going to be coming out soon. So I know you're making a film with Frit Tan, who is an incredible filmmaker, who made a film with Joe Mosley, who's spoken about before and who's obviously been on this podcast as well. But can you tell us a little bit about your film with Frit?
Sure. The film is called Walking Towards Pain, and it follows my journey where I decide to hike Helvellyn, which is my first mountain I've ever done. I'd never done a mountain because I'd always been very, very scared to do one, because it's quite a lot of elevation, a lot more than sort of Peak District Hills. But it was important for me to do because I wanted to A, know if I could do it, because I like to know these things, and B, it can really widen my options for where, what I can hike and how I can explore the outdoors a lot more. So there was a whole thing about Helvellyn, because it was my first mountain, I was really, really, really scared for months beforehand. So Frit thought it'd be a really good idea to sort of show the reality of what it's like. You know, it's not, it's a different narrative. It's a story that's not out there already. Helvellyn is mostly achievable to most outdoor folk who are not disabled and not chronically ill. So it's a bit of a different narrative of somebody that it's not necessarily that achievable to. It follows me up and I do summit it. And then it also follows what happens to me afterwards, which is the bit that nobody also really sees. And the fact that it took me 2 weeks to recover after hiking Helvellyn. It's a really good, it's quite a vulnerable thing for me, because it's not easy to be in pain in front of a camera and then in front of however many people I end up watching it. It's not easy to have shots of me moping about in bed and constantly being around in my pajamas in the house. It's a very vulnerable time for me, and it's something that I don't think, it is probably one of the reasons why people don't talk about it and share it, but it is important for people to see the impact that it has on some people, and why it's not necessarily as achievable for other people, or why it is achievable but in different ways. I've seen the full thing. It's absolutely stunning. Frit is a fantastic filmmaker. I'm very fortunate that he's also my friend. I don't think I would have been able to do it with anybody else, because it's such a vulnerable situation for me. There's even a point in the film where, because I wake up in pain, the man's so dedicated, he gets out of bed at 3 a.m. to film me in pain. I didn't even want to be awake at that point, but, you know, bless him, he does it.
Did you just message for it and were you like, okay, I'm in a lot of pain, do you want to pop over and just film this? Is that how it works? Or
we were sharing a YHA room, so we were in sort of like a dorm room. He told me to wake him up if I woke up in pain, so I had to sort of prod him, and then we had to sort of waddle out, and he filmed it. He was fine, to be fair, about the entire thing. It's just, he's, you know, a couple of days later, because I was in bed immediately afterwards, was straight up here, straight down here, which is about an hour's drive, filming me while I'm sleeping, which is a very odd feeling. Very odd thing to wake up to. I am proud of it. I am proud of the hike. I am proud of it really shows the journey I went on, and the impact it had afterwards is a big thing to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And what, do we have any idea when we will be able to see the film?
I don't have a date for you. We're currently looking at doing sort of some screenings and things like that. When it's available online, I'm not too sure yet. I think that's more with Frit and the Brands at the moment.
Watch this space.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. So is the film a sort of an extension of the blog then? And it's, you know, it's a different way to communicate, I guess, how you get outdoors.
Yeah. I think it's just sort of this idea. It's my entire thing about the outdoors is transparency, I think, from my perspective, because the last thing I want people to think when they look at me is I'm doing this easily. Not because I think I want people to know, oh, she's having such a tough time with it, but because I want people who are similar to me to not expect it to be, you know, not put themselves down and think, why isn't it easy for me like it is for her? And that authenticity sort of goes on into Outside Our Way, and it comes out into the film as well. And I wasn't intending to film this. I'd planned this sort of thing for like a year beforehand, and it was like literally a week before I was coming up the mountain that Frit was like, I think we should do a film about this. We rallied around to get funding for it. But it was, so it is sort of an extension of Outside Our Way, and that sort of authenticity and that honest story of the whole story of a hike with a disability.
I think, you know, you're sort of saying it's a way to show how the difficulties you do face, so that other people who might be in a similar position to you know that this is what happens. But it's also a way to inspire people who maybe were you in your, you know, early or late teens, sitting there inside thinking, this is the rest of my life, this is my future. And then they see something like that and they go, okay, this is going to be not the easiest thing in the world, but it's possible. I think, you know, you're showing what is possible, and that is also really exciting.
I hope so. I mean, I think the important thing is it's possible for some, not all. But even if it's not a mountain, even if it's, you know, a nice little Peak District hill, some of the, do you know what, my heart still is in the Peak District. I've climbed the mountain, I still look for Peak District more. And, you know, there's lots of nice routes that are even flatland, and it is possible to get outdoors. It is harder for us for many reasons, some of them external that we can't help, some of them are our own bodies, but it is possible, and it is beneficial, really beneficial.
Yeah, exactly, which is super, super important. So I look forward to seeing the film when it comes out. I'll keep eyes and ears peeled. So there's a question I ask all my guests on this podcast, and it's, looking back at the ripples you have made in your life, what are the biggest lessons that you have learned for keeping your mind and body healthy?
I know exactly what it is, but I'm trying to think of how to word it.
Fully loaded question.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be all or nothing, I think. It doesn't have to be, you know, go to the gym twice a week, climb twice a week, and then go for a hike, and then fit in a wild swim in the middle. And I was trying that at some point. That's not good for my body or my mental health, because I'm setting myself up for failure, and then that will make me sad. Avoiding that boom and bust is vital. And by doing that, you just find a middle ground for everything that suits you, and don't, you know, don't push it or feel like you have to fit everything in once, because the outdoors will be there for a very long time and you can slowly enjoy all of it for the rest of your life, hopefully.
Yeah, exactly. You just find what works for you, you know. And I know that after I had a baby, my whole way that I experienced the great outdoors was very, very different. But I now, I appreciate the little things a lot more now, actually, and just, you know, walking over to the canal and feeding the ducks. We get outside, we have a lovely time. is very different to maybe what I was doing 3 or 4 years ago, but that's a really exciting adventure for us still. And
yeah
it does make you really appreciate those small things.
It does, yeah.
You know, you look at the world differently. You look at the color of the trees, you know it's not just about getting to the top of the mountain at all. That's not, it's the journey, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly, it's the journey. And you know, every sort of step you take forward is further than you potentially got before. It's still, you know, you've gone on a little hike. I did my lockdown walk the other day and I'm still buzzing from it, and it's just like literally farmers fields. So
that's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh well, thank you so much, Annie, for sharing your story. It's been really inspiring. And for anybody who wants to follow your journey, obviously find out when the film's coming out, all these exciting things, how can they do that? Where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Annie_went_outside. The film, it really should be coming out soon. Definitely give me a follow, or follow Frit Tam at Frit_tam, and you'll find out when that film comes out very soon.
And all your links to your blog and everything is all on there as well, isn't it?
Absolutely, so yeah.
That's a go-to place. Oh, well, thank you so, so much. I've really enjoyed chatting to you, and I'm really excited to kind of see what ripples you make in forthcoming years. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, the Start a Ripple podcast. If you like what you heard, then please do write a review. It helps other like-minded souls find this podcast too. And if you want to get in touch, then the best way to speak to me is probably via Instagram, and my handle is @with_India. All right, take care and speak to you soon.